Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Don't you just love God? I love God. It's great to be here. Welcome. My name's Jonathan. As pastor's already said, I'm here with my wife, which is great. We don't always get to be in the same place on a Sunday morning at the same time. So this is a blessing. While I was praying out in the little prayer room, and the prayer room is really powerful, I think if you're feeling that the world might be kind of having its way with you or just getting a bit heavy with you, come and pray and show the world who's in charge. It's really great. But there are three, I think there are three particular groups of people that you may well be here, I know some of you will be, that God really wants to speak into your lives this morning. Is that okay? One is this one, Psalm 91. None of this is on the screen, Luke, so don't worry, fear not, just smile. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I think there is an attitude that comes by position. So I just want to encourage you, if you know that Jesus is your Lord, then dwell in the shelter of his wing. It's just a positional attitude, if you like. I will say to the Lord, he is my, say my. And as we kind of dig in the scriptures today, I believe I'm convicted in my heart that a lot of us that maybe have known the Lord for a while, God wants to reignite something between an A shepherd and a my shepherd. So we're looking at Jehovah Rawai, the shepherd. And how many of you know that to have a good shepherd, you need lots of sheep? How many of you get that? Just have a look around the room. You don't have to go back or anything like that, unless you really want to. But we are the sheep. This little scripture that God put in my heart, just the key for me is verse 3 in Psalm 91. Surely, say surely. That means it's certain, it's guaranteed, it's inevitable. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. And I just feel in my heart that as we just gather together around the shepherd's heart this morning, if you've been feeling like you've been caught by something, trapped into something, you've got this pattern of just, what do I do? How do I get out of this? The shepherd is going to set you free today. Because that's his job. Come on. It's his job. The shepherd wants to set us free from things that might have snagged our lives, attached themselves to our lives somehow. The shepherd is going to set you free this morning. Or if you're listening to this later, this afternoon. Or if you're really, really later, this evening. Because the shepherd is good. That was the first thing that kind of just dropped into my heart. We haven't got to the message yet. This is just a prologue. So if that's you, then this morning, this is for you this morning. The shepherd's going to shepherd you. The next thing that the Lord dropped into my heart, and I was trying to find it earlier and I couldn't, but I have now. Psalm 124, at the end of that, it says, where are we? We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. There's a lovely person in this congregation that came up to me a little while ago, just before we started service, said, can I share something with you? And I've had about a million people say that to me. And sometimes I've said yes, and it's been like, I don't know whether I wanted to hear that. So I always say, well, it depends what it is. And this dear lady said, at one of the encounters, I think last week, they brought some issues into the room with them. And they met Jesus, and the issues stayed in the room, but they left without them. I'll say that one again. Real time, real person, real situation, came into the room, caught, snared, trapped, if you like. They met with Jesus, who totally set them free. I think that's worth a clap. That's worth a thank you, Jesus. And then during the second song, when we were just singing something about the grave, there's greater power in the grave could not contain the power. Is that right? I'm looking at Luke because he knows all the words. He's like me as a drummer, so we don't learn music, we just hit things. But I just felt in my heart that there's some of you maybe here this morning, it feels a little bit maybe like hope has gone, or the light is diminished, or there is just a sense of, I just don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I've tried this and I've tried that and I've tried the other and I don't know how this is going to work. Let me tell you that the power of the shepherd will come into the grave of your now and still set you free. Because whatever grave we perceive we're in, the power of the shepherd is greater than the power of the grave. Come on, there's a few of you nodding. I don't know whether it's because you're falling asleep or whether you're agreeing, but the shepherd, I believe, is a powerful personality, the dynamic of God that has always existed. Always existed. Even before you as a sheep were born, the shepherd was. And it's my conviction that as we just journey through the word a little bit this morning, is that you will experience both the rod and the staff of the shepherd. Well, we haven't got time to go into all of Psalm 23, but there are 8 names of God in Psalm 23. Of course, you will know that because you're from Crawley Congregation. You're all amazing. And we haven't got time to go into all of those, but Psalm 23, after this service, take it away with you in the light of what God is going to show this morning and just see how full, how complete the shepherd is in his nature. He will lead you into a right way. He will provide for you. He will guard you. He will protect you. Woo, come on. But my heart, as I was just praying and preparing for this, it was, God wants us to have a brand new concept, a brand new understanding, a brand new experience that the Lord is not just a shepherd, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I like you. As a cheerleader, you should sit at the front. Let's just talk a little bit about sheep because it's 4 minutes to 11. Here's some facts about sheep you may or may not know. Right? But I just want to give them to you because there's a lot of synergy between how a real sheep behaves and how us as sheep behave. And you might be able to pick these up yourselves. And it's fascinating. Here's the first thing about sheep. They can recognize up to 50 other sheep's faces for 2 years. So next time you walk around a field full of sheep and you make a funny face at it, it's going to remember you for 2 years. This is true. Stuff like this just fascinates me. It's like, what? And they can also recognize human faces. You didn't know that, did you? Tell me, please, you didn't know that, did you? Otherwise, I just stayed at home. When sheep experience stress or isolation, they show signs of depression a bit like we do. I know this is true because it was a shepherd that wrote this. It's not me. I don't know about sheep. They hang their heads down and they avoid positive action. This is a sheep. Feeling isolated. I loved what Pastor said about the best way to stay on fire is to stick in the fire. And here's a sign of the great shepherd. How many of you remember the story of the one that got lost? What did the shepherd do? Went and found the one. You may feel as if you're the one that is lost. You can tell whether that is true because you can feel a bit vulnerable, a bit isolated. You can feel a bit disconnected with people, a bit disconnected with God as well. You can feel as if you're the only one going through your situation. Or if God really knew what I was like, he wouldn't do this, he would do that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I've been there. But the shepherd, because he's a good shepherd, is a strategic seeker of sheep. He's going to find you. Man, he's going to search for you until he's found you. Because he is a good shepherd. He's not just any shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a strategic seeker of sheep. And let me just tell you this from my own experience and from many, many people that I know have experienced this as well. You may well feel that you can hide from God. This bit at the beginning is, he who dwells in the shadow of his wing isn't about hiding from God, it's about hiding in God. But it can feel like you're just hidden, but the shepherd will find you. Come on, because he's a strategic seeker. Sheep talk to each other. They make different bear noises. They have a communication. They also can recognize, as I've said, the impression of their co-sheep or fellow sheep, if you want to put it that way. Sheep are intelligent. They have a great memory. They build friendships. They stick up for one another in a fight. This is a sheep, right? This is not a lion. This is not Superman or Iron Man. This is a sheep. They'll stick up for each other in a fight. Man, I want to be with sheep like that, don't you? Don't you? When you're toughing it out in the world that you're in, wouldn't you want to know that other sheep are there with you? That they've got your back. They're not trying to stab you in it. Come on. But a good shepherd, as we look at in a moment, trains the sheep so that they are very aware of one another. Come on. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm going to keep saying that. Sheep are able to experience emotions such as fear, anger, rage, despair, boredom, disgust, and happiness. This is good, isn't it, Andy? This is great, isn't it? This is just a sheep. I mean, saying just a sheep, this is sheep. How many of you do the same? How many of you had a bit more of a spring in your step because the sun was out this morning? I did. Spring lamb. Yum. How many of you when it's, I have to be careful because if I go too much, I get a look and then I have to change. How many of you, when life is a bit gloomy and doomy, maybe you're not full of the spring in your step? Well, let me tell you, the good shepherd wants to wire you so that you always have a spring in your step. Because he will always lead you into a spacious place. He will always feed where he leads. Because he comforts you. Sheep are very gentle. And one of the first animals to be domesticated. Here's a fun fact. If sheep don't have a shepherd, they will die before they're supposed to. Because nobody cuts their hair. And nobody sorts out their diseases. Did you know that the staff and the rod had... You know what I'm talking about, Psalm 23? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you know that those two things are two different things? Do you know that? You know what the rod does? Do you want to know what the rod does? Do you want to know what the rod does? I'm going to need a volunteer sheep. Andy, come on. You know it's you. Come on, sheep, mate.
Hello, mate.
Hello. How are you? I waited till your wife left and then I picked on you. So we know that Jesus said in John 10:10 that there is someone around that wants to steal and kill and rob from the life of the sheep. But Jesus came as a good shepherd. You're going to need to go on all fours, mate. Is that all right? Okay. If you just do that here. Now, you might see him. Maybe some of you are happy that you don't see him, but maybe some of... This is what the rod does. You are the flock of sheep. Thank you. You've been dealing with life. You've been looking after each other. You are free from ticks. You're free from disease. You're free and you're healthy. The shepherd will never allow any sheep in to be with you until he's put the rod along the back of the sheep. And as the sheep goes forward, the rod back combs the fleece because that's where the disease is manifest first. And sometimes, as he's going forward, it's a bit uncomfortable in the process, but the other side of the process, you are healed and you are well and you are free. It's you there clapping, mate. I'm just, you're a good sheep. Did you want to spring off? Okay, thanks, mate. The staff brings guidance, it brings protection, but the rod brings freedom from disease. So your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's not just about knowing that the shepherd is there and it's like, oh, it's nice the shepherd is here, but also submitting our body to the shepherd to make sure we're not carrying disease into the flock. He's a good shepherd. So your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I believe today, God wants to do that with us. He wants to expose our lives to both his rod and his staff. So if we're feeling a little bit lost, we don't know what to do, we don't know where we're going, we don't know who we are, his staff needs to become dominant into our lostness. If we're feeling like, well, I've got this situation, this thing just doesn't seem to change, and I know there's some brilliant freedoms and testimonies coming, but we want to expose our life to the rod of the shepherd. This is not the rod of the hireling that is likely just to hit us. Well, you can't come in. Stay out there. Stay out there until you're sorted. No, the process is the sorting. Glory to God. The process is the sorting. Sheep have great peripheral vision. In fact, they can almost see 360 degrees. And I just believe a sheep, what the shepherd wants us to move into, is that we don't get blindsided by things. Is that the shepherd wants to make us aware of things that might have blindsided us in the past. Things have maybe been habitual, things that maybe we felt were right, but they don't produce what God sees as right. Maybe habits that we've had that God wants us actually, you don't need to do that. You just need to fix your eyes on me, see the shepherd and follow me. Do you know that in our culture, not so much now because a lot of shepherds use quad bikes, but in traditional shepherding, in our nation, the shepherd usually was behind. But in the time when this was written, the shepherd wasn't behind, he was in front. And there's a massive difference between that, because historically, particularly in this country and, Western Europe, there was a lot of things called heavy shepherding going on, which was not very helpful. And there was too much rod and not enough staff. But how many of you know that the shepherd, the good shepherd, he wants to exercise his character as a shepherd so that we become those that know where we're going, but also that we're free to get there. And it's a totally different dynamic when we meet this good shepherd. So are you still with me here? I'm just aware of time. It's 8:08. We're doing well so far. You're still with me? You're awake? Just go, meh. Thank you. This, I believe, is the motive of why God sent his son as shepherd. In Matthew 9, verse 36 to 38, I don't know about you, but for me personally, with the current murders, bombings, loss, trials, this scripture has just really come alive to me in a fresh way. This was written a couple of thousand years ago, but it's also true today. With people who are just going through trauma and turmoil, Matthew 9 verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, this is Jesus, he had compassion on them. Did that come up?
There we go.
When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. You see, the shepherd's heart is so much for you and me and sheep. He identifies with our condition before he moves his position. He knows that the sheep will get harassed, and actually without the shepherd, they're helpless. And particularly with what's going on around the world, I believe our nation needs the shepherd. I believe all nations need the shepherd, because his primary role is to shepherd our soul. It's to shepherd our hearts. It's to shepherd our minds. It's to shepherd our bodies and to shepherd our spiritual lives. But just picture this for the moment. They were helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, his followers, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Personally, I believe there is a direct connection between the health of the sheep and the quality of the harvest. I'll say that one again. I believe there is a connection between the health of the sheep and the quality of the harvest. Thank you. We have a whooing sheep. What I mean by that is that God wants to work something in our lives as we're out in the harvest field. It's my personal conviction that the shepherd is already in Broadfield. He's already in Bewbush. He's already in Maidenbower. Because there are sheep out there that he wants to gather in. But it takes sheep to recognize sheep.
Glory to Jesus.
So it's come out next Saturday, whenever it is for the next outreach. Amen. So what does that mean? What does this mean to us? I think the sheep need a shepherd for their safety. They need a shepherd for their sustenance. We need a shepherd because of our spirituality. We need a shepherd because without the shepherd, we're going to get confused. We need a shepherd to help us find our way through life. And if you know what I'm talking about here. But not just any old shepherd, the shepherd. Goes on in John 10, 10 to 15. The thief, the enemy, the one that likes to eat sheep, the thief comes to do nothing except steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. This is one of the most amazing bits of scripture that I think we can dwell on. Because what this describes, just go with this for a little while, is that the shepherd, the greatest shepherd in the universe, became like the worst sheep in the world, so that the worst sheep in the world could know the greatest shepherd in the universe. This is amazing. This is incredible. If we can get our head and our hearts around this, this good shepherd became like the worst of the sheep, the most disobedient, the most sickness-ridden, the most desolate one, the most lonely one, the most lost one. He became like that one so that that one could know him. It's incredible. This good shepherd became like the worst sheep so the worst sheep could know the good shepherd. That's what this means, is that he literally laid down his life for his sheep. Is there a little button that you press that does that? Yeah. Because if there is, I think we should get one for everybody. That was all. Woohoo! The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, that's someone that represents in this context someone that is paid to do a job. But Jesus paid to do the job. And he paid to do this job with himself. Which is incredible when you think of it. And in a moment when we break bread, it's a reminder that the good shepherd led himself to where the sheep could never go. He went through that so that the sheep could go where without the shepherd they could never go. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father loves me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Just some thoughts about the qualities of a good shepherd. And some of these may create a bit of an ouch with us. I don't know. Firstly, they know how to set boundaries. The shepherd doesn't want you or I to operate outside the boundaries of grace. For example, how many of you know how generous you are until you have to be generous to someone? Or, put it around the other way, how many of you know just how much you have when you meet someone that has less than you? Or, how many of you run against this sense of, it is only me, and a lot of us can have that, when you find someone that actually needs you to pray for them, or needs you to love on them, or needs you to put an arm around them? And suddenly, you have to bypass the first to release the second. Because that's what good sheep do. Remember, sheep stick together. Come on. They're strong when they're together. So a good shepherd knows how to set boundaries. A good shepherd sets an example. See, I go ahead of the sheep. I don't know about you, but I want to live more like the shepherd who shepherds me. Does anybody else here want to be like that? Yeah, I want to love others like he loved me. I want to talk to others like he talks to me. I want to be with others like he is with me. I want to be able to operate to others like he operates with me. Or is it just me? Anybody else want to be like that? Because the sheep need to be aspirational in as much as I want to be like my shepherd, not just like a sheep. Because there are some people, I'm sure there's nobody here like this, but there are some places that I go to where I have a talk with someone and they might have known the Lord for 40 years, but they still operate like a lamb. They need everybody around the flock to do everything for them. So they're not 40, they've been 1 year old 40 times. Sorry, if that's you, please forgive me, love me, it would do the world of good. But sometimes we think we're a lamb and actually we need to grow up and become a sheep. We need to start taking responsibility to be part of the shepherd's role in terms of looking after one another, loving one another, praying for one another, honouring one another, serving one another. The other 34 one another's in the New Testament. We need to start living like that. And not just be, well, I'm the worst sheep, please help me. And I think there's a maturing from lambs to sheep that we need to journey on. Is that all right to say that? We're kind of going to land this. I've mentioned some of these things kind of in the chat here. But if you go to Psalm 23, and you can look there now if you like. Psalm 23 is a true story. There was a friend of the ministry's many, many years ago that had a ministry in Eastern Europe. This is while the wall was still up in Berlin. And this would be back in the 70s, 80s. I didn't know them personally, but they came and spoke in the Bible school. And he shared this story, which is a true story. It's very powerful. Is that him and his team would go out into what was Eastern Europe at that time. They would go in kind of undercover, if you like, and they would just share their faith, their gospel with families. And there was one way in which they taught this psalm, and they just see your hand, your hand, doesn't matter which one it is. The Lord is my shepherd. You got that? So it's on your hand. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is a true story. There was an extreme winter blizzard 1 year that he was out there, and it desolated lots of little outskirts of villages and towns. And one orphanage, they found a young boy that was holding his finger like this. And nobody knew why. But when news got back, it was the my finger. And the testimony from this traveling evangelist was, this young man is now with the Lord because he knew the my shepherd, not just an a shepherd. Do you understand that? And that's a true story. And he grabbed this my. And I just believe in the next few moments as we pray, as we break bread, anybody here, that you want someone to stand with you, pray with you about maybe some of the things that we've mentioned, about isolation, about being on your own, about the fowler snare, about the sense of, doesn't matter what it is, all right? The shepherd wants to shepherd us this morning. And as we break bread in the moment, and as we kind of offer up the floor to anybody at all, anybody that just wants someone to stand with them and say, Lord, just help me. Just show me, or whatever. Then we've got some guys here that will pray with you. Is that okay? I'm just mindful of the time. Is this all right? So we're just going to kind of get to a response now. So just close our eyes a moment. It does all go dark, but we're not afraid of the dark. Psalm 23 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra. I shall not want, Jehovah Jireh. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, Jehovah Shalom. He restores my soul, Jehovah Rapha. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake, Jehovah Tsidkenu. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Jehovah Shammah. The rod and the staff, they comfort me, Jehovah Azir. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We looked at this one last week, didn't we? Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, my standard of victory. You anoint my head with oil, Jehovah in Kadesh. My cup runs over, Jehovah Manah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jehovah Shelek. That's our shepherd. Complete, abundant, provider, healer, guider, protector, redeemer, restorer. That's our shepherd. Is it your shepherd? Is he your shepherd right now? As a sheep, am I surrendered to the rod and the staff of the shepherd? So he provides my guidance and my freedom. And this is a judgment call. This is our opportunity to respond because the shepherd's here. Because he wants to shepherd our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our spirit. And surely we will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life, including today. Jesus, we want to thank you that you are the good shepherd. And Jesus, I thank you that you have been comforting us, maybe challenging us. You've been healing us. You've been the shepherd to us in these last few moments. But Lord, I thank you that the greatest demonstration that what you said you did is that on the night that you were going to be betrayed, you took the bread and you broke it and you said, "This is my body given for you." The shepherd gave himself. And after supper, you took the cup and said, "This is the cup of a new covenant, an eternal agreement, a new contract. This is my blood that I shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." I thank you that as the shepherd, you gave yourself for the sheep and you provided forgiveness. And as we move together in a moment and come and celebrate, it says, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And Lord, I just want us to remember that we don't belong to the world. We don't belong to sickness. We don't belong to shame. We don't belong to guilt. We don't belong to fear. We don't belong to rejection. We belong to Jesus. We want to remember that we don't belong to our past, and our past does not belong to us. We don't belong to our failure, and our failure doesn't belong to us. We belong to Jesus. And we remember that we belong to God. We belong to God. And if maybe you haven't come to that point where you've made Jesus your Lord and your Saviour, in these next few moments, you can. He's not just a shepherd that you've heard about and longed for, but he's my shepherd. We had a lovely family turn up at the encounter evening on Wednesday, and somebody said, "Can I just come and chat with the husband?" And I went and sat halfway through the encounter. It was all kind of happening. And I sat down next to him and said, "How are you doing, la-di-la?" We exchanged names. He looked at me and said, "What do I need to do to get saved?" How cool is that? I shared that with one of our leaders, and they said, "Well, last Sunday had a biker turn up with his family, covered in tattoos, covered in ironmongery, and he came and said, 'I've heard about the death of this guy, Charlie Kirk. I want to know why he died for, so that I can live for it.'" To shepherd is shepherding. Come on. The shepherd is shepherding. So have we got something we can just put on in the background? I quite like that. Was it Jake Isaac's song that we did? "He's Greater," because I think that's good. That just caught something when we sang that a while ago. So we're going to put that on. And while that's playing, when you're ready, just come up and receive from the shepherd. Don't limit what he will give you. Come on now. Let him set the boundary. The Bible says, "Whoever comes to me, ask of me, seek me, knock." Oh, look, you're very keen. Don't limit what the shepherd wants to give to the sheep right now. If it's healing, he will give healing. He'll release it. If it's relief, he will bring... Do you understand what I mean by that? If it's just a sense of knowing God's around, he will do that. So don't limit what he will do. Go.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.